Welcome to the People Who Read People podcast. I'm Zachary Elwood. In this episode, I interview a guy named Scott about his experiences with online dating. A little bit about Scott. He's a straight man in his 30s who lives in Portland, Oregon, and who works in advertising. We left off his last name to give him some privacy, but if you think he might theoretically be a good romantic match for you, send me an email via my website, readingpokertells.video, and I'll pass your info along to him. Scott and I talk about indicators and clues that he gets from online dating profiles and pics to figure out whether someone might be a good match for him. We also talk a bit about his own strategies and how his advertising skills might affect his approach to creating his profile. This is the second dating-related interview I've done, so if you like this one, check out the episode before this. Okay, here's the interview with Scott about online dating. Hey, Scott. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, Zach. Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's start out with, what's your general opinion of online dating compared to, you know, more traditional ways of meeting?
You know, I was married for a long time. I was never really a single person as an adult when there wasn't, like, apps weren't the way you did it. So it's a little bit of all I've known, other than just, you know, the random day-to-day experience of being out and meeting people randomly, but which has happened, but very rarely. And I'm sure some people are probably good at that. I'm a little bit of an introvert. I love people and I love being around people. I love doing things. But if you get me in a bar and it's loud and I don't have like the loudest voice in the first place. So a lot of the times the places where I'm going to meet somebody who is totally outside of my network, like it's not a friend of a friend or something. It's in these situations that like, I'm just not good in that situation. I'm not clever and funny and I don't say anything that's memorable. And I just sort of, you know, I forced myself to do this when I was like earlier in my singlehood of really just getting out of my comfort zone. You know, approaching women at clubs or at bars or coffee shops or, well, sometimes a coffee shop. I try to not harass people. That's important. So like, I don't approach women in gyms, like coffee shops. It's got to be the right kind of situation. Because if it's like, if it's this person's neighborhood place, then like, I don't want to ruin that for them. You know, I don't want to like, or especially if it's like a gym where it's like they have a membership, like they're sort of, it's sort of a captive audience there. Like they have to be there, you know? So something just feels like scummy about that. So I really like the fact that dating apps are a safe place to connect like that, that I don't have to worry about like, am I bothering this person or does it feel, I'm 6'3", like I can scare some people, you know, just out of physical size. So like, I don't have to worry about that. Even though, you know, dating online has its challenges of just sorting through so many people that you have nothing in common with. It takes a lot of time and effort. I do, in general, think it's a really nice way to meet people where you're not harassing people. Although I'm sure you could harass people online. I'm sure people have figured out how to do that.
But I've heard of such things.
Yeah, I believe you. But you know, unless you're a total creep, like you can figure out how to do this without, you know, with being a pleasant experience for everybody. So I do enjoy it generally.
I will interject here. I think you were being too humble. I'll say that you are clever and funny. So I just wanted to interject that.
Well, thank you. But that's because you know me. You know, like it's a different experience when it's when you're walking up to somebody, when you're a little nervous. Right,
in a loud bar or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a public place. And
my brain turns to mush. So
do you feel like the awareness of women's issues around, you know, being harassed, do you think that plays a role in not wanting to approach women in public places in that way and having that, you know, be a factor in being more comfortable with the online dating for men, you know, men in general these days? Do you think that plays a role?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, so the first couple dates and dating experiences I went on was probably, in like my current phase of life, was like maybe 6 years ago. I definitely felt more at ease if you're out dancing, just sort of like dancing up on someone and, you know, doing it in like a respectful way, but, you know, in a way that makes sense for that environment. Never once really thought about all the stuff that I would think about now, you know, because I think, you know, a lot of awareness has happened in the past couple of years. And I think for everybody, even if you, I always saw myself as someone that was pretty like gender aware and respectful of people. But I think no matter where you are on that spectrum, you know, if you're paying attention the past couple of years, you've probably done some introspection and change your behavior a little bit. So yeah, nowadays I'm much more, it's just top of mind of how I'm behaving, the kinds of words I'm using, my body language, like the distance I have from people. I mean, it does, you know, at work is a thing. I mean, I would like to think I was never like harassing someone at work in general, but, you know, people meet people at work, that happens. So I think I'm more systematic about it now and less mm-hmm. just sort of flippant about it now than I would have been years ago.
More careful, right? Yeah. Makes sense. So let's get into indicators or tells that you can get from someone's bio or messages. Are there certain things that you've noticed that signal a likely good match or a likely bad match? You know, things that maybe are particular to you that aren't common things people notice, you know, maybe for example, a woman posing a certain way that, you know, is indicative of something to you, things like that.
Oh,
anything
man.
Come to mind for that kind of thing?
Yeah, there's just so many of things like this that, I mean, I was trying ahead of time of this conversation to not just make a huge list of these, because there are just so many. It's something I've talked about this with so many of my friends, men and women, of just looking through profiles and either like laughing at them or just thinking like, what were they thinking? Because there are these patterns that like, I honestly, like, what were they thinking half the time? But yeah, one of the things that does take a little bit of time with dating is not those really obvious things, but the more subtle cues that people put into their profiles that will tell you something that's actually pretty important about them and whether or not you're going to connect. I have found that, and I'll preface this, that like, you be you, however you want to present yourself in your profile is great. Like, there's no wrong answer, but for me, there's things that don't resonate and things that do.
Good preface.
Yeah, thank you.
Good safe preface there. I like that.
When, like you mentioned, like a certain way people pose, like some people put like Snapchat or Instagram filters, they use those photos. There's probably somebody that likes that, but like, I see that and I'm like, that is, you're a child. If you're putting that in your profile and you have like little mouse ears mm-hmm. or something, like, no. Unless they're being clever about it, if there's a joke attached to it, then that's great. But if you can't present yourself honestly, which I think that's what that is, and that's probably, you know, this is sort of one of my assumptions, that it's a lot easier to put yourself out there if there's a filter over your face that makes you look a little bit sparkly mm-hmm. or whatever.
Glamorized.
Yeah, because a lot of these filters actually do. They make you look younger. They look your skin, make your skin.
Right, it's like a glamour shot. Yeah.
But when you're looking at a person that you don't know, like, it's weird. It's not an authentic shot of this person. And that's what I really look for, is just examples of your daily life. Well, one, like, you don't have to have like shots of big friend groups and things, but do you actually have photos of yourself?
Like more candid photos, life photos.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people will have a number of photos that are just selfies in the bathroom. Selfies in the car is for some reason super common. I don't know why that is. I've been told that like the lighting looks good, but to me it's very strange that like you're a selfie and you're driving your car. Like, okay. It doesn't tell me anything about you other than like you don't have photos of yourself. They can be like professional kind of shots, or they can be candid shots, or like whatever they are. But if you don't have any photos of yourself, to me, that's just sort of odd. It might just be I'm looking for like the inverse of me that like, or the reflection of me that, you know, when I'm looking to put photos online, it's like photos I've taken when I've been on hikes, or, you know, if I'm kind of camping and stuff, it's outdoor stuff because that's important to me. Pictures of my dog recently passed away, but like up until this, it was just like, it was all these pictures of me and my dog because my dog was incredibly important to me, you know, those kinds of things. So they don't have to be like big epic things. I've heard a lot of women complain about how many images of people fishing there are. Like, I don't have any of those. actually, I do try to avoid the stereotypes. Like, I actually am very into lifting. It's a daily routine for me, but I would never put a gym photo on your profile.
Do you feel like the gym photos kind of signal like more of a hookup mentality than a relationship mentality? Or because it's like, look at how sexy I am kind of thing, which isn't bad. I just wonder if it correlates with more like a casual kind of approach to the
you know, probably a little bit, yeah.
So anything else come to mind for indicators of bios or pictures or messages, anything at all?
The big thing that this year was actually the social justice movements, that showed up in online dating. Week to week, you could see the shift. People's politics, and even to this day, like there was sort of a bigger moment in the summer, but I think politics in general mm-hmm. has become the front of a lot of profiles. you know, politics, it's, I am a generally political person, so I'm followed all these things and I have opinions on all these things. I think that's one more level of filtering that that has happened this year that I think is unique. Oddly, you know, I live in a liberal city, but there are conservatives and, you know, Trump supporters here, and their profiles are very aggressively about that. You can almost sort of sense like the harassment that they've felt, or, well, harassment, maybe not the right word, but like that they're not finding the right people. Mm-hmm. And so they front load their profile with like, here's exactly what I'm looking for. But I've seen it on the other side too, that like, if you don't believe in, you know, these five things, swipe left.
Don't contact me.
Yeah. So it is interesting in the dating world because you want to obviously align on those values, but then it is like those values are not enough to make a relationship.
Right. Just the necessary initial sorting that needs to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's only a certain amount of space in a profile that you have to get your personality across. So it's a balancing act to sort of, you know, announce to the world how you fit into the, you know, the social structure and how you see it, while also, you know, throwing in a joke and a picture of you camping. Like it's a lot to combine. So I think it's actually still a little bit awkward. Like there's multiple distinct tones in people's profiles right now because of that.
Do you feel like your experience in the advertising industry helps you craft a better, you know, bio and pictures?
I have no doubt. Yeah. Cause I mean, for one, is it just like more visual that like I do have photos and I know how to manipulate like photos to make them look good. So I think that probably gives me a little bit of an advantage. But when it comes to just, you know, brand thinking and like the more subjective ways that are sort of below that top level of consciousness that creates an opinion, that's sort of the core of branding, of just like all the different messages you send out in look and feel and style and style of words, not just like visual styles, but just how all of these things combine into a perception. That's basically what dating is, you know, when you're presenting yourself to the world. So it's the same kind of training just applied for my own uses. So I could take feedback on my profile and who knows, maybe it's not as great as I think, but I've seen some worse ones. So I chalk it up to that.
Do you ever think about like, well, I don't want it to be too polished. I want it to look off the cuff. So I have to take it down a notch from, you know, you don't want to look too like you thought about it too much. And I wonder if that is sometimes a factor for you.
Yeah, I definitely went through a learning phase on that. And I think my earlier iteration of my profile was a little bit too professional. It was too polished. And some of the photos I think were too professional, like me giving speeches at a place. Like that one like does communicate something to someone that I'm like a thoughtful white collar professional. It is a little bit harder. Like I have a lot of those photos and I have very few of me just like smiling in a park. So it took a while to get the right balance there to sort of, you know, tone it down and to capture like my full personality and not just the professional one that I'm actually more used to presenting out to the world.
I guess that might theoretically intimidate some people too, if the speeches are the professional ones.
Yeah, probably so, which is, I think, actually a problem because I don't actually care if my partner is a similar white collar professional. Like there's a lot of kinds of people in the world and can have different paths. So I wouldn't want to limit it to someone that has this exact same thing I do. But the truth is that, yeah, people sort of, they self-filter and they self-match. And that basically is what's ended up happening in the end anyways.
Regarding photos, have you noticed a pattern related to, you know, someone having too few photos or, you know, photos that seem to be from a strange angle or don't, you know, show their face clearly, you know, because there's that kind of common knowledge that those kind of indicators can point to somebody not wanting to, you know, show what they really look like. Mm-hmm. Have you had any experiences like that? Or maybe just catfishing kind of stuff in general where you showed up and they were very different from what you thought?
Yeah. I've had a number of those. Yeah. I've learned that there's a reason why there's only one photo. That's one of my things. Like if I'm not confident that this is who the person is, then I just won't do it anymore. But I've met up with people where there is like one photo or it's like five variations of the same photo, but they're all like, you know, from the shoulders up or something. And then when you meet the person, like, oh, okay, I get it now. Like there's a reason why you were hiding that. It's just getting a sense of like the full picture. And I can understand why, you know, like I've gone through,
right.
I mean, with pictures were basically talking about like physical attractiveness. And so you're going to take and you're going to put photos up where it's like, you've got the best hair this day, or the lighting is the best. And it's the same for men, you know, like there's some photos that look better than others. And weight fluctuations, like there's been times when I've had, you know, a little bit extra around the middle and times when I don't. And I don't put the ones up where I don't look good. So, you know, I think it's for all genders, but yeah, you want to present who you are. And so when you show up onto a date, it's who they expect to see. But yeah, not everyone follows that advice.
I'm curious if this is something you've experienced or heard about. I've heard stories about women purposely picking not that great pictures of themselves because they don't want to attract people that are solely interested in their looks. It's hard for me to imagine many people doing that, but I'm curious if you've seen or heard of that happening.
You know, I've gone on a couple of dates. There was a relationship I was in for a short while that I remember when I first met her, I showed up and we sort of walked up to each other in a parking lot, and just me being dumb and words falling out of my mouth, the first thing I said was like, "Oh, you're cute." her photos were fine, but like I wasn't like, "Oh my God, I can't believe I'm going on a date with this person." And then I showed up and it's like, "Oh, you're okay. Wow." I don't think that was like a strategy of hers. That was just sort of nice. But, mm-hmm, you know,
like she just hadn't put that much thought into it or something, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I don't know if, you know, we're all as self-aware to know what our best angle is. Like, mm-hmm, I think we all think we have that, but I mean, so for me, I've been told many times, like photos with smiles, like great smile, but then like, I hate smiling for a camera. So I don't have any of those. And so I think a little bit of the personality that shows up in person is probably a little bit different than the one that's on my photos, because it's just a little more stoic.
Right.
So I think it's that kind of thing. Like with this woman in particular, she had amazing eyes, but her photos were also sort of from a distance. And so you just didn't capture that. And, you know, not everybody knows what makes them special in that department. Or, you know, we all have different preferences too. So maybe it was just, I found her eyes amazing, but everyone else finds other things amazing about her. So who knows?
Did you get a second date after that comment?
Oh yeah. So yeah, that turned into a couple months of a lovely relationship.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. Yeah, but I know what you mean about the photos not being representative or not always being representative, because I can relate to that. You know, it's hard for me to smile on cue for a camera, and it's pretty rare for me to have a photo where I look genuinely happy. It's just, it always seems so awkward to me to like try to smile for a camera. So
I think there's something about men, like we're all just trying to be in like a band shot, like we're in some kind of rock band, and we grimace for the camera. I don't know why we do that.
The serious thinker, yeah, pose.
Silent strong type.
You're right, right. The other person I interviewed about dating, she had shown me a bio of someone, it was a mutual acquaintance, and I was kind of blown away by how kind of clueless and arrogant their bio sounded. And it was basically like a long list of grievances and complaints about like what they, you know, didn't like. And I just, it was such a bad, was such a bad presentation to me. I was just kind of blown away. And I'm curious, do you often see, you know, regardless of the kind of person they're looking for, it just seems like blatantly like this person is way too picky or bitter or something.
Oh yeah. So I'm glad you asked this, actually. This is probably my number one pet peeve about online dating profiles. So I have an online profile, right? No matter what the app is, I have a profile. And the woman that I'm either swiping on or messaging or whatever it is, she's going to see my profile because she has to message back or swipe right on me or whatever it is. So that's her opportunity to vet me, is my profile. And I don't know why this is, but so many people use their profile. Let's just say women, just for clarity's sake, like heterosexual male, I'm on apps looking at women. So many women's profiles are what they want to see in my profile. And it's this checklist of like, you need this, 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 and this, or don't be any of this, this, or this. And like their whole profile says nothing about them. It's all about what they expect me to be. And every time I see one of those, it's like, well, I'm not going to look any, like spend any more time with this because I know nothing about you. And you spent all your profile time to just tell me what should be in mine. When just look at mine. Like, you don't, that's just strategically not a good thing to do. It's a little bit of like the instant negativity, because we all have a checklist, you know. It's sort of like it's a part of dating. It's a weird thing if you think about it. Like, we're vetting strangers we don't know to be the most important person in our life. And that's odd. But like, we have a checklist of like things I like and things I don't like and things that are important. And there's probably like a ranking of 1 through 5 of order of priority. So we all have that. But to put that as your profile and just announce that to the world is so off-putting to me. Like, it takes any kind of mystery and intrigue out of it. And it's just, I swipe left on every single one of those.
Yeah, I can see how that would be very off-putting. No matter what they said, it's like, it's so much negativity up front, like you said, yeah. Do you feel like you have a pretty good first impression sense? Do you feel like your first impressions of people hold up pretty well?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is why I focus so much on if you get past the first couple texts and it's fun and there's enough there that's working, just get in front of the person, like meet, because I you do know basically right away, I think, that I don't know like if it's chemicals or what it is, but like I basically have felt that if there's, you know, within the first 10 seconds, it's the immediate meeting and you just get a sense of like, oh yeah, this is going to work. You may not know it's going to work for a month, for a year, for a lifetime, but you know right away that like there's something here. I've never found it to be the other way. I've even tried going on a couple of dates with people that I could just tell like, this person's really funny. Like I like being with them, but I'm not attracted to them, but
not feeling it. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I should be though. Like, you know, does it matter that much? I could sort of grow into it, but no, like the truth is that no, like I know right away if this person's, you know, sort of captured me or not.
Well, yeah. And it's an interesting topic because there's work about, pheromones, you know, people's pheromones matching in some way, you know, or people having this instinctual reaction to people's pheromones that's subconscious, you know, that would help explain those kind of things. And I've always been curious about how much of these things that we act like they're, you know, these logical or intellectual things about justifying relationships or why we like other people. It's really just coming down to these subconscious pheromone sense that really something is triggering something in us that we can't intellectually explain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually a big believer in that. There's something that's just there. And, you know, you can sort of rationalize it however you want, but I feel like the sense of connection is there first, and then you figure out what kind of compliment you want to give them that makes you think is the reason why, but it was there already, or it wasn't.
Right. And not to say it would only be pheromones that natural connection could come from just like people's total experiences and personality, just, you know, somehow clicking in a way that is really hard to intellectualize or explain in a logical sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, dating is something we've been doing for hundreds of thousands of years. It's very just animal, you know, even though there's a lot of rituals and all this stuff packed on top of it, at the core, it's just, you know, you meet someone, you feel something, and that's sort of all it is.
Yeah, I do agree. I think there's a lot going on beneath the surface, which is getting back to those people that are super picky with their profiles might be missing that idea of your range of acceptable mates who you would love might be wider than you think, right? Because they're just not, they don't seem to be open to those kind of ideas as much.
Yeah, definitely.
So when I was talking to Celia for the other dating interview I did, we talked about that stereotypical guy holding a fish thing. And I'm curious if is there an equivalent for the female photos that's something along those lines?
I mean, it's probably the Snapchat filter. Because, I mean, they're so common. There's like, they go in phases. Like there was for a while, there was like the sparkle filter and there was like the cat ear or dog ear filter. Mm-hmm. I've seen quite a few profiles where every single photo has a filter on it. Mm. For me, that's the fish version. It's just like, nope.
Right, that's a pass.
That's a pass.
Have you seen anybody using that reface technology where they have their faces on movie scenes?
not on a dating app yet, but you know, that would be a risky thing to do because I am trying to figure out what you look like. So if you put yourself on someone else's body, that brings up other problems.
That's worse than the filters. Yeah.
Although it's funny though, you can use any of these things as long as it's like, there's a reason why you did it, that, you know, that could show something about your personality. That's really great. Just don't make it every photo.
Right. Like if you put your face on like, you know, Scarface snorting all the cocaine, you know, that tells you something about the person.
Yeah. Sounds like a fun person.
Yeah. So there was a study an interesting study about, it was about familiarity leading to contempt, and it was examining how learning facts about a person before you meet them makes disliking a person more likely. And I'm curious if you can relate to that in terms of, like, if someone tells you too many facts about themselves, maybe that can be a bad strategy, because that just makes it more likely that you'll learn something about them that you dislike. Whereas in person, if you learn that thing in person, it would go over better, because we're all always more generous in social settings. And we're, you know, whereas if we read things online, we're like, oh, you know, screw that, I don't want to meet that person. Can you relate to that at all? And do you have any thoughts around, like, telling too many facts about yourself versus, like, trying to strike a balance of maybe not giving too many things away about yourself?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely right. I mean, if we think about this in sort of business advertising brand terms, there's a customer journey that people go on. And at each step of that journey, you want to give just the right amount of information and the right information that makes them take the next step down the journey. The dating app is step one of that journey. And so the whole point of it is to get a date. And then when you're on a date, if you want another date, the point of it is to get another date. So I think people lose track of that. If you do put the facts and figures of your life in your bio, but it doesn't have the, like, essence of who you are that's compelling, then you've failed. You know, all that bio and all that profile needs to do is be like, yeah, I'd meet with that person. That's the entire point of it. It doesn't have to have a lot of information. It's only, I think, even like a couple dates down, like, this is sort of my approach for just going on dates in person, that, like, it's a great date if by the end of it, I still don't know how many siblings you have, and I might not even know what you do for a living. Like, it might have sort of come up, but we didn't really stay on it because we just found some other random thing to spend the whole evening on. Those are great dates. You know, it's not about the information and the facts and figures. That sort of handles itself. I think it's the context too. When you're on a dating app, the volume of it, there's just so many people on them that you can't really spend that many, like, mental calories thinking about these people. It's very instinctual. And so when you're in person with someone, you're invested in those mental calories. You're going to spend all of it on this person no matter what they say. You're like, you're there for a couple hours. But with a card on Bumble, it's 5 seconds at the most, you know, and you make a decision. So what you decide to put in front of that person for that 5 seconds needs to be simple and clear. And yeah, we're talking about advertising now, but it's all the same stuff.
No, I like that. It's almost, I feel like you could write a dating tip book about the customer journey.
If someone hasn't done that yet, I should probably do that. That sounds like a good idea.
I like what you said about the sign of a great date is when you forget about the fact gathering thing, you know, because that seems to be, like, what you go to on a date when you're not having a great time. You're like, well, what about this? What about this? What about this?
Yeah.
I like that as an indicator. Yeah.
Yeah. Getting out of the interview format is great.
And also getting back to that idea about not telling too many details. So, you know, I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying don't tell about yourself, because I think the point is, like, don't do yourself a disservice by telling things that would be, you know, kind of extraneous and that theoretically could go over better in person and that would, you know, be received better in person. Like, an example I can think of is, like, somebody putting something about astrology in their bio and I'd be turned off because I'd be like, oh, I don't want to be with someone who believes in astrology. But then, you know, in person that could go over a lot smoother, and I'm more generous in person, and it might come out that they don't really believe in it and they just kind of believe in it and think it's fun. And, you know, there's all this context for things. And so I just want to throw that in there, that I wasn't implying don't say anything about yourself. One random question I had, and this might exist, but I've sometimes brainstormed a dating app idea that would be matching people based on what they hate or what they dislike. And, you know, for example, the idea would be that people's dislikes sometimes define them very well, and why people end up breaking up is a lot of time due to things that they very much dislike. So I thought it would be a good algorithm built around dislikes. And I'm curious, A, do you think that's a good idea? And B, have you ever seen anything like that in a dating app?
I have not seen anything like that. There's definitely elements of that I would appreciate. Sort of like things that are important to me are, like, good financial management And that's not ever, like, that's not a toggle of like a button you can turn on in any of these apps. So yeah, if there's, I guess you could position anything as like good or not that good thing.
A like or a dislike. Yeah. Right.
So I like financial management. If you had an app that I could select that I dislike financial mismanagement, I would select that and I would download your app.
Yeah, see, I think it's interesting because some things that you might not really have a positive opinion about something, but something could really bug you on the negative end of it. So I think it'd make for an interesting algorithm, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you might actually get all those people that have the lists of like, if you're not this, check, 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 swipe left.
They would like it.
They're going to love your app. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's an interesting idea. I think it would just come across as so negative, even though that isn't really the intent, but it would be like, this is a site for misanthropes, you know,
but it takes all kinds. You know?
If anyone's listening and wants to create this, I'm happy to be, to give you the idea and pass the idea to you. And, I'll be a consultant if you want me. Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Scott. This has been an awesome talk.
Yeah.
I appreciate your
time. Thanks for having me on. This is fun.
This has been the People Who Read People podcast with Zachary Elwood. If you'd like to learn more about this podcast, go to readingpokertells.video for episode summaries and links. You can find me on Twitter at @apokerplayer. If you want to show appreciation for the podcast, please leave me a rating on iTunes or on the platform you listen on, if possible. Music by Small Skies.